The queen of rock, Jennifer Benson of Ignescent, has joined The Antidote. It's a pleasure having you here, Jennifer.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Your band is based in Chicago, and that city I found to be home to so many Christian artists. It almost seems to be like part of the city's culture. Has any of that played an influence on Ignescent?
Yeah, that's a great question. Honestly, not a lot. I mean, yeah, there are many great Christian artists here, but me personally, I haven't really run into many in this area. In the Northwest suburbs, we're kind of the only ones. And so we find ourselves playing with a lot of non-Christian bands in this area and at clubs and different settings like that.
Well, I'm glad you haven't actually run into any of them, because that really messes with your car insurance.
That is true. That is true.
I do always like to start at page one of a band. How did you dream up Ignescent?
Yeah, well, I actually became a Christian when I was 15 years old. And before that, I was super shy. I couldn't even look people in the eyes. I didn't really talk to anyone. I was super, just so shy and had social anxiety. And started going to church and a youth group, and I accepted Christ, and he changed my life at age 15. And I started just sharing the gospel with everyone and at talent shows, and started, you know, talking to everyone. Like, I totally changed. He totally changed my life and who I was. And God gave me the gift of evangelism and of music. And I thought, wow, it would be so cool to start, you know, a Christian rock band and get out there and share Jesus through music, because so many people love music and, you know, it's a good way to connect with people. Over time, I didn't start that right away. I had different things in my life that that happened and kind of prevented me, unfortunately, from doing that for a while. But when the timing was right, yeah, I started a band. And I just auditioned people. I looked on BandMix and tried to find Christian people through there. And then someone introduced me to a drummer who's a Christian. And then he introduced me to his friend who is a bass player that was looking at getting into a band. And so it kind of started from there. And I wanted the name to reflect what we were trying to do. We're not just a band, but we're a band to glorify Jesus and to share his love with people. And I was just looking through the dictionary and praying for the right name. And I was in the I's, like the letter I's in the dictionary. And this word Ignescent just popped right out at me, because it means to ignite and to spark. And I thought, wow, that's perfect to ignite people's hearts on fire for Jesus with music. And so that's kind of how that all came to be.
So this is actually the intention of the band, is to evangelize.
Yeah. And we started out actually not really doing any churches. It was all in clubs and in bars, you know, playing our music. People liked it, but then we'd share the gospel with them. And so that's how we first started, is just playing in bars and just playing in clubs.
Well, let's talk about the music a bit too. Now, I found out that the debut Ignescent release, Electrified, came out almost a decade and a half ago.
Yeah.
One of the songs on the album was Calling Out to You. Mm-hmm. It's a bit milder than your current stuff. So was it intentional to change your sound?
Yeah. Actually, Calling Out to You, that was co-written with Ben Cassica of the band Skillet. When he was, he's not in Skillet anymore, but the previous guitarist that was in that band. And Yeah, that was definitely a lot softer, but well, it was kind of intentional. It was also the influence of the band members, because in Chicago, metal and rock is really big. Not a lot of people that are into pop, really, honestly, even though I love pop. But so at first, I didn't really like double bass. I didn't really like the heavy 8-string, 7-string guitars. But then the band members, you know, they influenced me. They showed me like these different styles of music, and they started playing heavier, like 7-string guitar or 8-string guitar, and the drummer, you know, played double bass. But just spending time with them, I got really into it, and all of a sudden I loved it. I became obsessed with like the double bass and the heavier sounds.
They corrupted you.
They corrupt, yes, exactly. And I thought, well, you know, I love Evanescence, of course, and I thought this would be cool, like, you know, to take it a step further, because I love the pop melodies and the catchy melodies, but then I love this, you know, heaviness too. And wouldn't it be cool to kind of mix those, you know, kind of like Evanescence does, but to make it even edgier and even harder than that. And I don't see a lot of that in the, you know, Christian rock world. So I thought, let's try this, see what happens. And so that's kind of where that came from and what happened.
Over the years, Evanescence has played with a huge number of bands. Now, is there one particular band you'd love to perform with but never had the chance?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, we've opened for Skillet, which is one of my favorite bands. We've opened for Flyleaf, one of, you know, my favorite bands, and super blessed to do that. But yeah, I would love to open for Demon Hunter. We've never done that.
That would be a cool fit.
Yeah, I've never met them, oddly enough, but their music is amazing. I think that would be amazing. I would love to do that someday. And even on like the non-Christian side, like Nothing More, I mean, their music is really, really cool. And Evanescence, honestly, Evanescence too, that we've never opened for them. That would be amazing.
It sounds like you're a big fan of Evanescence.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I mean, her voice is just amazing, and the music, and yeah, definitely a fan.
I'm going to be bouncing around a little bit with some of the releases that you've had. On the band's Fight in Me album, you hear that aggressive sound on Monster You Made. The lyrics are also bold. You'll shut the door and lock me out when I became your nightmare. If you want a villain, then I can be. I'll become the monster you made me. So now, what about you, Jennifer? Have you been a monster?
Well, that song came out of a lot of hurt from a past relationship and a mentally abusive relationship that I was in. And when you're in that kind of relationship and you've been hurt so much, you get so angry. And so, yeah, I would say in a sense, yes, because I was so angry, so hurt. It caused anxiety in me to, you know, before I could heal from that and process through that. I had so much bitterness. I had so much anxiety, so much anger. And this is all, you know, as I'm still a Christian. Yeah. So it's kind of saying, this is what you've done to me. And so, yeah, I experienced all those emotions and from the hurt and the pain, but thank God, I have Jesus in my life, and I have great people surrounding me in a church and believers, you know, that could help, you know, me process through that. And honestly, God's healing hand. And so if I didn't have that though, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know how people deal with that without God. I really don't, but thank God I have him. And so he's helped me cope and process through, and he's healed my heart through that.
It isn't always easy to forgive a person like that.
No, it's super hard. And, you know, sometimes you have to forgive. And then maybe a week or a month later or whatever, a day later, you have to forgive again. Sometimes it's a continual process of forgiving until you finally have healed or, you know, and sometimes things will trigger that too. And then you have to forgive again. So, you know, we're not perfect people, of course. And yeah, it's hard. It's so hard. Definitely.
Just a couple of years ago, the band signed with a major record label in Italy, Frontiers Music. They have so many huge artists on their roster. Does Evanescence make a good fit on that label?
Yeah, well, honestly, I was kind of shocked that they were interested in us, because Like you said, they have amazing bands like Stryper, Journey. A lot of them is more like 80s rock, though.
Bingo.
And, you know, yeah. And obviously our music is, you know, more current. And so when they responded, I was kind of in shock. But I'm like, hey, this is an amazing opportunity. They're an amazing label. Stryper, who is a Christian band. I look up to Stryper because we're doing, you know, kind of what they're doing, but with, you know, different style music. And I can't say no to this opportunity. This is awesome and incredible. And so they've been great. I mean, they're super supportive and they've done, you know, and helped us so much. And we couldn't have done these albums without them. So yeah, it's kind of different and unusual, but I'm kind of used to that. God always does different and unusual things in my life and in Agnesen's life. So I guess in some ways it's not a surprise, but in other ways it is unusual. But then since then, they've expanded their label and they started signing some more current sounding bands. Mm-hmm. But I think we were one of the first, honestly, because when we did, there was no one really, you know, like us that they signed. But interestingly enough is the first single that they picked from the first album, Fightin' Me, was Not Today. And that's clearly a Christian song. You know, Kevin Young, Disciple, is featured on the video and on the song. And I was kind of surprised that they wanted that to be the very first single and how excited they were about that. There definitely must be Christians within the label because, you know, they're excited about us. And mm-hmm. I'm super thankful, super blessed.
Well, you've spoken a couple times about the Christian content with your music. But, you know, something that stands out about the earlier songs from Agnescent is that even though they do share about faith, I'd say that the lyrics are sometimes a bit ambiguous. So it sounds like maybe you're not always wanting to evangelize the masses.
Yeah, at first we decided we're going to create music that was more to reach out to everyone, I guess, kind of like Skillet does. Well, I guess the intention was we did want to go to bars and clubs and share that hope with people. And a lot of times if they hear the lyrics, you know, all about Jesus, they get turned off right away. And my heart was to share with people that wouldn't normally go to church. And so, yeah, that was definitely intentional. So we could go into these different places and get the opportunity, you know, to go there and share Jesus with them because they would listen to the music. That's kind of why we did that.
What about nowadays? Are you still playing the bar and club scene?
Yeah, we're doing both. We are playing at churches. We play at Christian fests, but we still play at the non-Christian places. Like we play at Rock Fest in Cadet, Wisconsin, Incarceration Fest, and we're still playing at clubs. We're opening for Texas Hippie Coalition in Michigan, March 28th at the venue, and that's a club. And we are actually headlining The Rail in Fort Worth, Texas, which is a club. So yeah, so we're doing both.
That's perfect. Because some bands, they sort of isolate themselves by not wanting to do the clubs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we want to go, you know, wherever God opens the doors, honestly, and wherever he has us. And so we are completely open to wherever he wants us. And thank God, we're all four of us are on the same page, which is sometimes hard to find, but I'm super grateful for the band members. And like Cole, for example, our drummer, he was a drug addict and God changed his life in 2021. And so he has a heart for people that have struggled with that and for people outside the church and, you know, because of what he's been through. And so each of us have a heart for people inside the church as well. You know, we're all struggling, but we have a heart for people that are outside that wouldn't normally, you know, be open to going to church. And, you know, so it's really nice that we're all on the same page.
You mentioned that Cole's on drums. Who else is involved in the band?
Yeah, Mikey Green is on bass guitar. Andre Leon is on guitar. And then I'm on vocals, of course. But Andre is actually originally from Guatemala. So that's been kind of fun to learn more culture about Guatemala and everything. But yeah, so that's the four of us.
So let's talk about what's really important for Ignescent. You've got to be over the moon happy to have your latest album, Eternal, coming out.
Yes, super excited. It comes out March 20th, and I just can't wait. We've had a few singles that have come out already from the album, Joker and the music video, and then our latest release, Chariot of Fire, which features Clint Lowry of the band Seven Dust, came out in January in the music video, and we've gotten a lot of positive feedback from that. So yeah, I can't wait till the rest of the album comes out, and yeah, super excited.
And just to clarify, it's Chariot of Fire, not Chariots of Fire. You're not doing a cover song of the Vangelis tune.
Right, no. No, it's Chariot of Fire, yes. Yes.
When you went into the studio to record Eternal, did you know exactly how you wanted it to turn out?
You know what? Interestingly, I didn't. I don't know. The first album I was so excited about, and I thought, I don't know like how this is going to compare, because I had so much to say with the first one, but then some things started to happen, some crazy things in my life. Like my husband was sick, all these crazy things, and thankfully he's fine now. But out of that came so much more that I had to say, honestly, about some miracles that I witnessed God do, and just some incredible things that I had never seen God do. And from that came Eternal. God gave me so many things that I wanted to share in this album. And I wanted this to be a little bit different. I wanted it to be a little bit more out there with our faith, and, you know, more clear about God and what he's done. And, you know, we did accomplish that, and that did happen. And we got to co-write with Samir of Flyleaf. And so one of the songs, Fearless, was co-written with him. And Jermaine of Tricord is a feature on one of the songs. It's not out yet, but it'll be out March 20th. So I can't wait for that one to come out. I'm really excited about that. And so, yeah, originally I had no idea, but once we started writing, it just fully came together, and it's exactly what it should be and what God wanted it to be and how I would have envisioned it. So I'm really excited.
Why don't I pull in one of the songs that's on the album? You did something interesting on Eternal. It includes a song titled Fight For Me. Is that actually meant to be a companion to the title track from your previous album, Fight In Me?
No, actually, it's totally, totally different. It has nothing to do with it. It was just a song about just going through struggles and asking God for help and to fight, because there's in situations that it was completely out of my control. There's nothing I could do. And so it's just saying, God, please, please fight for me in these battles. I can't do anything. And then also for, you know, maybe people in my life, very close people to, you know, to fight for me as well. And so honestly, yeah, it had nothing to do with that album.
Okay. Now I know the facts. Why don't we talk about the title track from Eternal? Part of the first verse says, I've taken aim, no demon is safe. And I'll take my shot, defeat the enemy. Now you're the prey because I have prayed. So on the surface, that comes across sounding like a losing proposition. But I know that isn't what you were intending.
No, it's about spiritual warfare and things that have happened in my life. There's so many stories. I don't have time to share all of them, but if I did... There was a time where I betrayed. I was in a custody battle, and basically everyone was against me, and there were so many lies and spread about me. And person that I was in a bad relationship with was a police officer, and because of that, he had power and people listened to him. And Illinois is super crooked, the court systems in Illinois. So everyone thought I was going to lose my daughter and it was over. And, you know, at one point I thought that was going to happen too. You know, so many things happened. I had a lawyer. God told me to get rid of my lawyer, which seemed completely insane, but my lawyer was actually against me too. Anyways, I got rid of my lawyer and I asked everyone to pray for me, even people I didn't know on Facebook, just to pray for me. And literally everyone thought I was going to lose her. And because of all the circumstances and the GAL, who is the child attorney, even recommended that my daughter not live with me because she was corrupt and she believed all the lies. It's just an insane story. But I prayed and prayed. The next day I went in and I fought without a lawyer, and God just gave me the words to say, because I didn't have a lawyer. Like I said, I got rid of him, and God showed up. The Holy Spirit gave me the right words, and basically against all odds, I won the case and I kept my daughter. Wow. And so that's just one example. There's so many other miracles that God has done. And so that song is about when I come under attack from the enemy, from Satan. He attacks me. And then I pray and pray and ask God for help. And then God defeats Satan. And then God gives me the victory. And he's done that for me time and time again. That's what the song is about.
That's the ultimate blessing, having your daughter with you.
Definitely. Oh, yes. Definitely. Yeah. I don't know what I would have done.
There's something that I've always wanted to hear about. Should your music always be challenging? Because it is.
That's a really good question. I think for what we're doing, I mean, I guess it doesn't have to be, but it usually is because of what we're trying to do. And, you know, we're trying to give people hope, and we're trying to do that out of our experiences, because I believe that's more authentic. Yeah, it's just because of who we all are, I guess. It just kind of naturally flows out of me and naturally flows out of us that way.
I did have a reason for bringing up that point, and that's because of the song Scream. It speaks about being in love with feeling broken. You know, I really hope that isn't personal.
Currently, it is not personal. Thank God. I have an amazing husband. He's super supportive. He's awesome. And a godly man. So no, thankfully that is not a current thing, but previously it was, yes, being, you know, mentally abusive relationship and with someone who wouldn't let me pursue my calling and my life. And I couldn't start this band for a long time because of this person. And I was held back for a long time until I was released from the relationship. But so, yeah, I would say from past experiences, but not current ones, thankfully.
Well, you've already brought up this point. Earlier, of course, I had mentioned how the lyrics of Ignescent weren't always obvious, but you certainly did change that on the Eternal album.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the intention just seems so clear each time. Here's an example. So Fearless says, "My faith and doubt have collided, splitting my heart divided, but your love rushes over me, awakens me to clearly see." And so, obviously, I don't think I'm wrong about seeing a change, but you really were intentional about making your faith more obvious in the songs.
Yes, definitely. Partly because of what's going on in the world. It's a crazy world. I mean, just all the things that have happened and all these major events. It's just something that I felt that people needed to hear more, the intentionality. And I started to realize there are so many people online, you know, that are Christians, but that are not Christians too. And they're listening to Spotify and they're, you know, listening and looking online on Facebook. And I started realizing that God can use that, not just even in person, but he can use these songs, you know, online and on Spotify. And I thought, you know what, I really see how God could use that, even if they don't come to a show. And I mean, then I was reading certain things by different artists, and we remade the Petra song. He saw it conquered, and I was reading up about them and how people heard this song and gave their life to Jesus. And I don't know, I just like God kind of made me look at things in a different way. And I thought, you know what? We're in crazy times. I got to do more. And yeah, I just felt like I had to change things. And that's kind of what happened. And that's why I did that.
There is one song from Eternal that I found pretty disturbing. Joker says, "I live inside your head rent-free. I love the way you obsess over me. Won't trust a friend who always speaks when I have to hit the ground." Why was it important to include that song?
Yeah, that's about when someone pretends to be your friend, but then they betray you and they gossip about you behind your back. And so even though you think that they're your friend, you think they like you, they really don't. And there's, you know, there's so many verses in the Bible about gossip and that sort of thing. And so I have experienced that so many times in my life, and then the hurt and the pain that comes from that. And so that's why, because I know, you know, I've experienced that. I've been hurt by gossip and betrayal and lies. And that's pretty common. I think that's something that everyone can relate to and probably everyone has gone through. And so I wanted to create something like that, that expressed those feelings and those thoughts of the hurt from gossip.
Maybe I should have you lay this out for us, Jennifer. How do you think Eternal will speak to your listeners?
Yeah. Well, I think in different ways, because there's some songs that are about hurt and pain. There's some songs that are about fighting and God fighting for you. And then there's some songs with so much hope. And so I think it'll kind of be a roller coaster ride as people listen to the whole album. But I know we've all been through pain. We've been through hurt. We've been through betrayal, you know, if you live long enough. And then I know we all need the hope that God gives us. And so, you know, my hope is that it helps people to process through emotions and hurt. You know, my prayer and my hope is that it also helps, you know, encourage them and give them hope and a reminder to know that God is there. He's fighting for us because he loves us.
Well, something that all your fans are going to want to know, and all the listeners to The Antidote, is Ignescent planning on touring the new album?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. We are currently booking more dates now. We have some dates, March 28th in Michigan, the venue, and then April 16th, we are in Franklin, Tennessee. April 17th, we're in, I guess it's Loganville by Atlanta, Georgia. April 18th, we are in Jacksonville, Florida, Murray Hill Theater, and then West Palm Beach. And then we're in Texas the following week. And we have a ton of festivals that are coming up as well as well at Life Fest. And there's new dates being added. So if anyone wants to check that out, you can go to Ignescent Bands in Town or ignescentmusic.com on the tour tab. And then, you know, those dates will continually be updated on the website and on Bands in Town. And then we announce them as well on Ignescent Music Instagram and on the Facebook too.
Jennifer, I got to say how much I've enjoyed our talk, and thanks for delivering such a great album.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me.